listening to another episode of the Career Planning Show. As you would have noticed, the last three interviews had to do with real estate and city building. Episode 35 looked at property.ca and condos.ca, what it means to have a career in real estate, and we talked about productivity with Mark Kadesky, the broker of record and general manager at property.ca brokerage. On episode 36, we talked about leadership, real estate, and growing a family business with Michael Callis, the president of Harvey Callis Real Estate. On the last episode, episode 37, we talked about youth engagement and city building with Ryan Law, the co-founder of Urban Minds, and someone who works for the City of Toronto in community engagement. And on the episode today, we are having a conversation about homelessness. And some of the resources that are available in the City of Toronto. We're talking with Keith Hambly, the CEO of Fred Victor. Fred Victor is a social services charitable organization that fosters long-lasting and positive change in the lives of homeless and low-income people living across Toronto. Keith is a seasoned leader in the charitable sector in Toronto and a thought leader on issues of homelessness and poverty and an advocate for lasting and meaningful change. He's committed to ending homelessness in Toronto. Enjoy the interview with Keith Hambly, the CEO of Fred Victor. Welcome to another episode of the Career Planning Show. Our guest today is Keith Hambly, who is the CEO of Fred Victor here in Toronto. How are you today, Keith?
Good, and a pleasure to be here, Alex. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Fred Victor and what we do, and hopefully excite new folks coming into the home or housing sector or shelter sector to actually make a difference in the homelessness world.
That sounds great. Keith, would you be kind enough to share your career journey? Where did this all start, and how did you end up becoming the CEO of Fred Victor?
Alex, I know you'd asked that question long before, and in thinking of what has been my journey, it's kind of an interesting one, I guess. Actually, what tweaked me onto this line of work, even in the homelessness sector or housing or affordable housing sector, there's a number many, many years ago, I like to say in the last century. I was at university in Ottawa, graduated, and actually got politically involved after graduating from Carleton, and got involved with a local campaign, a city at that time they were called aldermen, but we changed the name to councillors, but got involved in his campaign, and he got elected. And it was interesting, one of the very first issues, and this is going back to 1985, very first issues in that ward that he represented was a housing related issue of, and I'm not going to give the name of the organization because they're still around and doing exceptionally well, but they were looking at expansion of a house, if you will, in a residential area, and they provided support services to people with developmental in developmental situations. And, you know, you kind of naturally think, okay, that's a bit of a no-brainer to support that, but there was issues around committee of adjustment and that sort of thing, and that's just part of the process. But it was interesting, the community vitriol against such housing, and it caught me a little off guard that, you know, I wasn't so naive to think that opposition wasn't out there, but it was just like, wow, day one or two into this new term and it's already an issue. And housing became, over time, even in the mid-80s, particularly affordable housing in the city of Ottawa became an issue in the work that the person I work for. And that actually tweaked me onto nonprofit work. I was heavily involved in community organizations, the LGBT community in Ottawa at that time. And I kind of laugh at, you know, I have a degree in history honors at Carleton, and one of those infamous questions after graduation, so now what? And I really was interested in the community work and the work of nonprofits, and having been exposed to it as a legislative or counselor's assistant at that time, very involved with a lot of organizations in Ottawa that some were just starting up, some were longstanding, on a range of issues of housing or dealing with folks in marginalized situations. Mm-hmm. moved to Toronto a couple years in a few different jobs, and then landed a job here at Fred Victor in the mid 90s as a frontline staff worker in the housing department. And I was working with homeless individuals at that time. And I really, actually, it was tough work, but I enjoyed the work. And not to be, you know, patting myself in the back, but I did reasonably well and moved up in the organization. First managing or coordinating some projects within housing, and then managing the housing portfolio at that time, and then a director of housing and shelter services before I left to lead another organization in the aid service sector mm-hmm. for about 12 years. And then I like to joke and say I got kind of lured back into Fred Victor as a VP of programs and services. And then whether I have good timing or not so great timing, a month before COVID really hit and lockdown started, I was named CEO. So I said, welcome to the leadership role, and here's some COVID. So it's been a journey for sure, but it's one that I've thoroughly enjoyed and continue to enjoy. And what keeps me grounded in some sort of way is the knowing and the knowledge that whatever organization I've been working in or projects I've been working on all point to a direction of making someone's life much better, or an outcome, an intervention can lead to an outcome that's much better for that individual, whether that's in the range of work that we do as an organization or in housing or even in a personal life. So I think I came to the CEO position in this organization very much in a community capacity, desire to do something and make a difference. When you asked around career trajectory and all that sort of thing, outside of taking, you know, courses on management and the usual stuff like that, I really have not. It might not be a good thing to say, but I've not taken like case management courses or a social work degree or anything like that. And those things are wonderful, but I did frankly cut my teeth on learning in mm-hmm. the field and learning at the frontline level and getting to know people and understand people. I completely understand and embrace that this sector, and I use this word sector in a very broad term, whether it's homelessness or mental health, addiction services, food insecurity services, it's really anything that touches the lives of people who are marginalized or homeless or in great need, there's more professionalism coming to the table, and that's good because there's a need for that, but also not to lose sight of those, for those folks who are in those sectors, not to lose sight of who they're supporting. Yeah. And that being the individual on the street, the individual who is in housing or in a shelter or is walking through your door for a consumption treatment service in a safe injection site. So that, in my very large nutshell, is sort of that career trajectory and where I am now here at Fred Victor.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for diving into your story. And it's always interesting to hear mm-hmm. the career trajectories that a leader such as yourself has undertaken. Now, if we were to reflect a little bit about Fred Victor itself mm-hmm. and some of its history, and perhaps the vision that, that Fred Victor mm-hmm. currently has. Would you be able to dive into that?
Sure. And given my educational background is in history, I should know the history of Fred Victor off the top of my head. So it is an interesting history. And Fred Victor has been around as an organization since 1894. And the history of our organization is born out of issues around poverty and homelessness, even in 1894, in particular in the geographic area around Moss Park, so the downtown east area of Toronto. And Fred Victor has historically had a strong link and a connection to the United Church, and prior to that, to the Methodist Church. Our name, Fred Victor, is actually Fred Victor Massey, who is one of the sons of Hart Massey, who was of the Masseys of Ontario and Toronto fame, Massey Hall, the Massey Center, and that sort of thing, but also directly involved as an industrialist. He was part of the agriculture manufacturing of Massey Harris and then Massey Ferguson at the time. So there was a great desire, and it probably is not in terms of today's standards. It's you have to put it in context of the 1890s, that charity was something that was bestowed upon, and not that we believe that now, but where charitable good works were supported by the more wealthier in the community, or religious, had a religious or faith-based contingent. So hence our connection to the Methodist Church and then the United Church. But so over the years, since the 1890s, well into the 1950s and 60s, we operated out of Queen and Jarvis. We continue to still operate at that corner as our founding location. And we never lost sight of the communities that we served. So those who were homeless or marginalized, who were in extreme poverty, even then or throughout the century in the downtown East area, received support services. Oftentimes homeless would be a cot or a meal, and a meal at that location. There were many services associated at that time. I think obviously we would call them case management services, but they called it counseling probably in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And worked primarily with men in the local area. It was not until the 60s and 70s and early 80s that more of a shift to supporting broader populations who are homeless or marginalized, hence more families perhaps, more connection to homeless women in some situations, and also understanding of issues that led to homelessness, such as at that time, issues around alcohol or even substance uses in those days in the 60s and 70s, and responding accordingly. And I always like to tell the story of, this is going back, I think, to the 70s or so, or if not earlier, the concept of harm reduction, although that term was never really used or coined back then, but the concept of do no harm in the services that you're providing, and also meeting clients where they're at, permeates, I think, our history. And one example is because we operate, or at that time operated as a men's shelter, and shelters were often not what they call wet, or they operate as a dry or no alcohol or substances or anything like that on the premise. And I read when I first started at Fred Victor that there was a program called the Fred Victor Bar or what have you. It was in the basement of that location, and they operated a bar, which was arguably, I think, never done in any other place. And it actually kept guys, particularly older guys who were homeless, housed and safe and not having to wander the streets looking for cheap beer. They actually served it on site. So it's something that tweaked for me that Fred Victor is an organization that's never been afraid to look at things that are a little outside the usual norm at the time in order to deliver really good service. And I think that's permeated all the programs that we have today, whether it's our housing, harm reduction housing, innovative shelter models. We opened a safe consumption site about 4 or 5 years ago and continue to operate that on our Queen and Jarvis site, but we also operate another one in one of the hotel or a hotel that we manage, 401 and DVP at the Edward Hotel. So I think that I'm meandering a bit, but that gives you a story of our history. And it's really only been, I would say, in the last 20 years, and in particular the last 8 or so years, that Fred Victor has greatly expanded its reach geographically across the city of Toronto. We now operate over 21 locations across the city. We have over 60 individual programs that are funded. Some are coupled together, but they are funded programs across the board. And we support people in a variety of different ways. That's beyond housing or emergency shelter to now mental health case management, court diversion programming at the two courts. As I mentioned, the safe consumption site, a food services program. Food security program and an employment training program, as well as including a social enterprise. So we and a couple drop-ins, and in this period of time we have, or a few organizations have merged with us to increase our footprint and our capacity to deliver service across the city.
Wow, that's great. I really actually appreciate learning about the history of organizations and different parts of Toronto. Actually, I recently started doing historical tours around Toronto for free.
Yeah.
I just love diving into our history.
We do an interesting, it started off as an information piece by a former board chair that we had a few years ago. And it's now turned into a fundraising event for us. And we call it Fred's Walk, sort of based on the walks of previous time. And our board chair at the time said, wow, you guys have so many different programs. It's hard to know what they do or understand them without going to visit them. And he suggested in the first year he was board chair that he would take a group of board members and just walk to a variety of different locations in the downtown area that we had. And we flew with that the following year and turned it into a fundraiser that's it's corporate centered. We market it, if you will, to corporate supporters where they take their staff on a tour, and we have tour guides. Staff are tour guides, and we go to a variety of different locations. And because we do it walking in the downtown area, but it's a tour of not only our sites in that area, but also the history of the organization, but history of the area, the impacts of change within the area, gentrification, impacts of substance users coming into various populations, and how we position ourselves to impact or change or reverse, if you will, some negative trends, if you will, around certain areas. But it's proved to be quite successful. This past June, we resumed an in-person tour, and I think we had over a couple hundred people in different teams doing walking tours of various sites. During COVID, it was obviously we couldn't do walking things, but we actually expand it online to include our locations that are in Scarborough or in the north end of Toronto or the west end of Toronto that would never get a tour. If you can't exactly walk all the way out to the West End or up to Caledonia.
Probably could, but it would be a bit of a journey.
You could, well, that'd be the only journey. Yeah. Then you have to come back.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'll try to find
Alex, I didn't
website. That's okay. I'll try to find that on a website and add it to the show notes.
Yeah.
That's great. In terms of the vision that Fred Victor has right now, is there a way to put that together in one or two sentences? Like, what is Fred Victor striving for right now?
And I think because we work with people, our motto has always been, our line, our mission is finding place and purpose. Mm-hmm. Place being secure, housing ideally, or even in an emergency situation, a shelter, and purpose is all the other community pieces to help create a healthy individual, but also a healthy community. So we have the privilege of working in many different areas, from health services to housing services, employment areas, for sure, that we are able to link those pillars in sector-wide, but also as for an individual, that we are able to offer a holistic approach to one's housing outcome, one's health outcome, and one's personal driver priorities. So it's really finding place and purpose for the people that we work with.
That makes a lot of sense. And I appreciate the passion that you have for the work that you're doing. And it's so multifaceted, and Fred Victor continues to grow and expand its service offerings, its locations, as you said. It's a broad portfolio for you to hold in two hands. In terms of the priorities that you have right now as CEO at Fred Victor, how would you describe them? Are there certain things that you're highly focused on right now?
Well, we are, and it's on our website too, we are in the midst of our strategic plan. It technically ends next year, but we have very clear pillars in our plan. And sorry, I'm just looking around here for it. One is around housing and housing access, and that's a pretty broad one too. We have many activities underneath those initiatives. So we are always looking for housing initiatives, working with the city around rapid housing opportunities. We're just open phase one of a large housing project in Scarborough, where we're opened. It's a renovation of a old motel of 22 units. So we're in the process of moving people in there. But the second phase of that project is a modular component that will house 64 individuals. And that development starts later this month or early October. So we're actively pursuing those opportunities as part of our housing and shelter pillar. In addition to that, we operate a hotel, the Edward Hotel, and it's a result of the COVID planning that the city has done, and we operate one of the largest hotels, around 285 units or rooms, basically. But we're hoping to work with the city on how do you convert that project really into something more than just an emergency space. It could be housing, it could be transitional housing. We also have a pillar around income generation for the communities we serve. So hiring individuals who have lived experience, who may be prior clients of Fred Victor, for example, into work that is in our sector, or being trained to have a better position in work out into the field. So everything from training, particularly around food service training, where we have some expertise around that. But also we've had on a few occasions where we've had former what we would call peer workers, actually be hired as full-time staff in some of our shelters. We also have a very active pillar, if you will, around health services. We are a core member of the Downtown East Toronto Health Team, and have been pushing for, along with our colleagues, around better health, better and streamlined health care outcomes for clients who are the folks that we support, people who have very complex issues, who are on the street, who often use the health system, in particular hospitals, as their primary care. And how do you provide community health supports in a better way for the communities that we support? It's not that we would be operating clinics or anything like that, but we are often the first responders, if you will, to community crisis and crisis situations like COVID, like homelessness. Our staff operate as a first responder in that world. And then one last pillar in our strategic plan or our priorities is ourselves. And a lot of times strategic plans and organizations are very selfless, and that's true, and are looking towards how to have better outcomes for the clients they serve. But we also have to look internally. Are we doing our staffing team right? Are we supporting them to deliver good service? Do we have the right infrastructure and organizational structure? Do we have the right policies or support services for client or for our staff who are delivering some very complex services and challenging services too under very austere situations? So just a couple of the initiatives that we have in place for that area is looking at wellness for our staff. And we brought on board a wellness director to help develop a strategic framework for our wellness for our staff. And coupled with that is around our work around equity and inclusion, and how do we have that as a more fulsome and robust proactive package as opposed to a reactive one for staff. So though in a long way, that's our priorities. That's what we are working on amongst many, many other things. And you're right, we're a large organization. We're roughly 500 staff. And that's full part-time casual staff. And we, as I said, we have over 60 funded types of programs and over 21 locations across the city.
That's amazing. And if I'm, you know, if we're picturing right now someone walking their dog or just on their way to their school program or driving to work, listening to this podcast right now, they're thinking, wow, I'm inspired about the kind of work that Keith Hambly is doing at Fred Victor. I wonder if there's a way for me to reflect on my career and maybe look to the social services sector, potentially in housing, health related initiatives that are underway that someone could, you know, decide to join in terms of the focus of their career. Are there certain career related tips or ideas that come to mind? Things that maybe you've utilized along the way as you've climb the career ladder, so to say?
Sure. I think the first thing is really understand yourself around, particularly if you're going to come into or want to come into an organization, if you're looking at frontline work, for example, in the variety of things that we do, or even our sister organizations do around housing, is really understanding the community that the organization serves and be fully comfortable with that. And I'm just gonna put out there that sometimes, and I just use a few examples here, when we hire folks and they come in, they have great amount of skill sets, they've gone through case management training, they've gone through a social work degree types of thing. And then they get into work at a frontline level, or even at a frontline case management or frontline management level, not fully understanding the communities that we serve. And I think it's doing one's research that they fully understand that. And sometimes what happens, they realize, oh, this is who you work with. I don't think I could do that. And I get it that people don't know until they know faced with those situations. But I think if people are interested, really do their research on who's being supported, why they want to do this work, and knowing that you're working with other human beings who have their challenges. We work with people who have inordinate amounts of multiple layered trauma in their lives, being a homeless on the street for a number of years, or being in extreme poverty for a number of years, or in a active substance use. So it's knowing who you work with and what your role is going to be with folks that you're working with, that you've developed at least an understanding, if not a bit of a comfort level. Because it's hard, but when somebody begins the employment journey with an organization, there's a lot of time invested in both support, mentoring, and recruitment that we don't want to waste your time, nor we need to do the work on a continuous basis. So it's important that we're all on the same page and understanding that. So I think that's the one big piece of advice, is do your research. The other one is, and I know we're talking more around work with the community in these situations, but as organizations become a little bit larger, more sophisticated in the sense of their operations, we've had folks come into the organization in different ways, in finance or in HR, that are from the corporate world because they've wanted to change. Sometimes that corporate world may be a different outlook, obviously, but some of the core fundamental skill sets in finance or in accounting or payables or HR development are transferable. So if people shouldn't limit themselves to thinking, the only way in is through a frontline management or a frontline position to deliver direct service. But there are other ways into an organization that can be very rewarding. Now, mind you, the nonprofit sector is not the best at paying competitive rates when it comes to for-profit entities, but what you don't get in full, multi-figured payments, you do get in other ways in terms of satisfaction or job satisfaction, and knowing that you make a difference, and knowing that a finance person in payables or payroll is an integral component of how an organization functions and functions well.
Wow. Thank you so much. This has been such an interesting conversation, so insightful. Keith Hambly, CEO of Fred Victor, we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the Career Planning Show.
No problem. Thank you.
How can our listeners get in touch with you in case they have a question?
Sure. You could contact us through our, I think we are on Facebook and Instagram, and certainly through our website. There's a general email there. And certainly, I think our general number to get a hold of me is 416-364-8228. So awesome. If need be. And I think my email is on there somewhere.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Career Planning Show. Visit rashcanu.com, that's RASCANU.com, to subscribe to my free newsletter, find free events that you can attend in the Toronto area, and to connect with me, Alex Rashcanu.